Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. I know it's been a long time, but I'm back and I am thankful. Plane landed not even 2 hours ago. Thankfully, I had this episode written predominantly before I left. We're going to continue our countdown series, get to a number of questions, all those different things. But I am sorry. For I have left you in this darkest of hours, the longest break we have ever taken from the 49ers Rush podcast. It was the wife and I's anniversary. We went all over the place abroad and, you know, planned this trip out for several years. It was a great time, but it was supposed to be back last night, but flights got canceled, weather, all that stuff. And so got in a couple hours ago. I am exhausted, but I could not wait. I just couldn't wait. I had to hit record. I'm getting all the messages from everybody. Hey man, did you get fired? Which that made me happy. Some people were like, dude, you all right? Y'all, even questions of, did the wife leave you, or like, what's going on, man? Everything is a-okay. Just took time away, which was good. It's good to go touch some grass from time to time. And now I'm ready, because today starts the slate. The 49ers vets haven't even shown up yet, but we are here. And this is what we do during the season and during training camp and all those things. The 49ers Rush is your day-to-day 49ers news, interpretation, education, community, whatever it is you're looking for, hopefully. That's what it was. The vacation was awesome. I appreciate everybody asking. Yeah, it was incredible, man. Spent time in France with the wife, which was so cool. Just bounced around, trains, planes, trains, automobiles, you name it. Going the wrong way, going to the wrong cities, you know, just doing the things that I don't know what to do. I don't speak French. But it was a great time, but very, very happy to be back. So I want to say thank you to everybody, all the hashtag CCs. I have missed you guys dearly. Vacation was great. And, you know, I'm not to the point, jet lag is still very, very, very real, but that is okay. I'm going to make it happen. We're going to make it happen. Yes, it is. It's happening. Chapman is live. It's a great Monday. I think it's Monday. I don't know what day it is. It's Monday. It's the 20th. This is episode 1,670 of the 49ers Rush podcast. We're going to continue our countdown series today. Getting to players number 33 down to number 29. So we got five more guys we're going to be talking about. And yeah, I missed you guys too. It didn't feel right. I got to talk to somebody. Definitely not my wife. That's not what we do there. But yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Big Toad, my man, was out in Paris looking fly with a blue shirt that matched the Nikes. Yeah, man, you got to match them. I regretted that day. The blue ones, they hurt the feet when you walk a lot. Man, we were walking a lot. That's what you do in Europe. And we were staying in like some cheap spots. So like we had to walk a lot to get to where we wanted to go. Dude, that day I wore those blue ones. Oh, I did. I'm glad the picture looked good, because the feet did not feel good whenever it was all said and done. But thank you, man. Niners now, do you think we should bring Debo back or not? I thought this question would arise. I'm probably more out on bringing Debo back than almost everybody else. I'm not to the point where I'm just like, man, screw Debo. He forced his way out of here. You know, screw that guy. I'm a little bit closer to that, but not quite that. You don't want to be here. You forced yourself out of contract to go to this team that you thought was going to be competitive, didn't even make the playoffs, and had one of the worst years of his career. Now, is Debo done? I don't think he is, but I do not think that he's beneficial to the 49ers at this point. Now, as a return man, sure. But if you did bring Debo back, the biggest issue that I have, man, you're basically writing off Jordan Watkins or Jacob Cowing, or both. There is not room in the current structure of this wide receiver room to add a one-year vet. And that's all you could do with Debo. And the only way that I would bring Debo back, I would say, look, dude, we're bringing you back on incentive-based contract almost exclusively. We're talking $2 to $3 million base contract. That's it. And everything else is incentive-based. And if you don't want that, sorry, because nobody else wants them either. It's not like people are tripping over themselves to get to a 30-year-old wide receiver that can't beat man coverage, is a gadget guy at best at this stage, that you play a man team. Sorry, Tebow, you just got to sit on the sidelines. There's not much you can do with them. Like, I don't know what you want with that. And so I would much rather just roll with what you have now. Let's say the 49ers have an injury or two in training camp at the wide receiver position, then sure, Debo come on in, kind of like what they did with Kendrick Bourne in last year, that same type of idea. But remember, they didn't bring Kendrick Bourne in until after the 53-man cutdown and all that kind of stuff. So it would be similar to that. Now, I'm very thankful for all that Debo has done for the 49ers. But at the same time, like, you got to understand, this is a player that held out, that hurt his team really, really bad, and then forced himself out. He's nowhere near Brandon Ayuk, even though Brandon Ayuk got his playbook from Debo, and he said that many a times. But yeah, I'd like to have Debo back, but not with the current wide receivers. I don't see why you would want to do that. You already have the vets in Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, and DeMarcus Robinson. Now, is Debo better than DeMarcus Robinson? As a returner, yeah. As a wide receiver, he is not. I would say it's not even close. Now, with Kyle Shanahan, that makes it a little bit better. But DeMarcus Robinson's game in the playoffs last year against the Eagles is better than anything Debo did last year. Like, and he did it against a great defense, a great secondary, because he can play against man coverage. Debo cannot. So if there's an injury, sure. But I'm just like, no, I'm not giving up on Jordan Watkins. I'm not giving up on Jacob Cowing. You already have DeMarcus Robinson, Christian Kirk, and Mike Evans, the vets in the room. They're more complete wide receivers. So, yeah, I'm out on the Debo thing. And it's not because, like, I hate him, but it does factor in. Dude, you forced your way out of here while you still were, like, Debo made so much money and still complained and forced his way out. I know him and Kyle are buddies and all that stuff, and that's great. And it's not like I hate Debo or anything along those lines, but it does matter. Like, you didn't want to be here, man. It's a little bit different with Drake Greenlaw, whose contract expired, gets offered top of the market money, agrees to sign, then the 49ers jump in and try to pull him back. That didn't work out. But like he lived up to his contract. He signed his extension way before the offseason. Like, he took team-friendly contracts. Debo has never done that. Yeah, I don't think he ever will. And that's why, even if I did bring Debo back, dude, it's going to be incentive-based, one-year deal. You come in, you've got to earn your role. You know, you're probably going to be the kickoff return guy, and we'll rotate you in on some gadget stuff, but you will not be a starting wide receiver here. You're not starting over Evans. You're not starting over Pearsall, and you're not starting maybe over Christian Kirk, but probably not. And Deshaun Stribling, like, I want him to work his way into that role. So I'm not big on that. Really, really not. Yeah, I'm so pumped for training camp, guys. It is right around the corner. We're about to start getting first practices. And, you know, for the rookies that are in training camp right now, it's it's learn mode. It's figure out all these plays, testing. You got to get ready for when those vets step in. You don't screw up our practice and all that stuff. Yeah, it's time to lock in. That's right. Oh, what's up? Milo Morris, man. He's back. See you in Melbourne, mate. Dude, can't wait. Traveling way too much this year, but that's okay. I cannot wait to go to Australia, and I hope you guys come with us. We still got packages up, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Whether you want to just join us for, you know, what, the rally the day before, which we've got an awesome venue in Melbourne. That's going to be a lot of fun. Or you want to join us for an all-inclusive tailgate way too early with that early kickoff, but that's okay. If you're about it, be about it. No Limit Studios. somebody got that reference. But yeah, or if you need all-inclusive flights, hotels, all that included, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Those are up on there. That's what I'm in. Look at Vader. Hell no to Debo. Yeah, I'm kind of out on that, man. I'm out on that. What's up, Darren? Appreciate you, man. Miss you guys. Yeah, I get it. I saw the post by Debo just talking about how his time there was like a fairy tale and all that stuff. Yeah, well, you could have stayed here. You didn't have to go. And so, yeah, I'm completely out on that. But an injury or two, let's see. I believe in the youth. I believe in the upside. I want to see one or two of the, you know, Jacob Cowan, Jordan Watkins to pan out. Don't need them both. It'd be great if both turned out to be awesome, but get one of those guys. We'll see. And now if there's an injury to one of the vets, rookies aren't, you know, Deshaun Stribling in looking like it's it, then perhaps, but that's about it. I want to see the youth. I'm with you, man. Invader, I got a question. Is it worth the risk of flying Bosa, Mikel, Kittle through the air for 15 hours, or would you leave them at home? Kittle, 100% not going. Mikel, probably like 80% not going. Bosa is a little bit different. Bosa's done it several times, you know, from having these type of issues, overcoming these types of issues. His injury happened way before the other two. So Bosa, probably. Mikel, Kittle, no. And I don't care how many times people post workouts of George Kittle. And, man, I understand it's not like a full Achilles tear and all that stuff. This dude's 32. He's been through it. That thing happened in January. I am just completely out on Kittle playing early. I just don't understand the value in that. I get that he's amazing. I hope that he is 100% week one. But, man, I just don't see that. I just don't see it. What's up, Giovanni? Appreciate it. No, he shouldn't have left. I feel like he never left. But, yeah, you can't do that. Can't do it, man. Debo as a tight end, too. That dude don't even run block as is. It's a wide receiver. I wish. Yeah, practices, they are right around the corner. Yeah, you do walkthroughs and all that kind of stuff with the rookies, go through some stuff. That kind of takes place now. As far as like real practice, once the vets report, you usually get 2 days after that and you get out there. I'm pretty excited about that. What's up, Thomas, man? Appreciate you guys. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. It's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Yeah, it's nice to be back, man. Yeah, Armando, I think Kittle is going though, brother. I won't be upset. I just don't see it. I will not be upset. What's up, Jorn? Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys. And yeah, we need a Charlie Warner 2.0. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's get started. Our countdown, even though we had a little break in between, we're up to number 33. And the way in which we do this, we have, you know, there's four of us that work through this entire series. And we just go through and, you know, just try to rank these players most important for the 2026 season only, 1 through 91. Shout out to Ben, Zach, and Josh, and myself. We rank them all, and then we tally up the numbers, and that gives us our order. Number 33, Jordan James. I'm pretty high on Jordan James. One, he was one of the only wide receivers, or sorry, offensive players, not wide receivers, that showed anything of promise in that playoff game against Seattle's defense. Christian McCaffrey, absolutely not. Ricky Pearsall played 40-plus snaps, no catches. Nobody looked good. Juwan Jennings looked horrible. It was just rough. Dude goes out there, 6 carries, 28 yards, averaged 4.7 yards per carry that game. You know, it was kind of the game was over by the time he started getting a lot of snaps, and that was kind of his, you know, first game in there because you just ran CMC into the ground. But, man, Jordan James looked good when others did not against an elite defense. It's hard to put all of your stock in those 6 carries, but you did see him. And it's like, man, dude looked good. So number 33, Jordan James, he was 38 last year on this list. So he's jumped up 5 spots. Where's jersey number 29? He's a small guy, 5'9", 205. Small. Him and Kalon Black are very similar. He's not as small as Kalon Black. He's also not as fast. Played his college ball at Oregon. And, you know, he was... to say relied upon would be an understatement. He was awesome at Oregon. Born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. Went to Oakland High School and 3 years at Brentwood Academy. Again, this is in Nashville. His sophomore year, he had over 1,600 rushing yards, 24 touchdowns, led his team to a 6A state title, was a 4-star recruit, 16th running back coming out of high school. Goes to Oregon. He had offers all over the place. Chose Oregon. Very productive career. He was the backup to Bucky Irvin. He only had one full year as a starter. So he's got a lot of quote unquote tread on the tires. This was not a college guy that was just beat into the ground. And he's only 22. It's funny. He's 3 years younger than the rookie running back you drafted this year, Kalon Black. 3 years younger. And he's already got a full year of NFL under his belt. 22 versus a 25-year-old rookie. Now that competition's going to be awesome. Yeah, that is worth buying tickets to training camp, which you almost can't get because the 49ers just keep dwindling it down, the training camp. They just don't want fans there. Eventually, just, you know, Jed York's going to walk out and put 4 fold-up chairs out there for training camp for 4 fans. That's like they're just – I hate that it's like that. Now, if anybody has extra tickets to training camp, please let me know. I'm fighting tooth and nail, but I was out of town whenever all this was going on, so I didn't get to jump on it. But if you know anybody, I'd be happy to pay for them. I'll pay for the whole crew. But if anybody has some extra tickets to training camp, hit me up, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Or sorry, 49ers, let me start back over, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter. You know, we're all over the place, Instagram, whatever. I will pay for them and whatever. Now, Jordan James gets drafted in the 5th round, pick 147 overall last season. Very, very good pick. And I really thought like he was a 4th-round guy. You get value there. And, you know, if I had to stack in the same draft class Jordan James and Kalon Black, it's not even close. I'd have a 4th-rounder on Jordan James. I'd have an undraftable grade on Kalon Black. But having said all of that, Kalen Black is growing on me. I am going to continue to call him Neo. Neo, he's going to be the one that changes everything, the chosen one. You can only have so many third-round running back picks that miss. Eventually, one has to hit. Why can't it be Kalen Black? Why not? But I do have Jordan James winning this battle. I think he's just too far ahead. He offers too much. He's too well-rounded. He's much better in the passing game with experience. He's been with the 49ers for a full season. And it took him a while because he did get injured in training camp. And this is what happens to 49ers running backs because Christian McCaffrey doesn't practice. And so because he doesn't practice, the other running backs get so much work and just run into the ground. He got injured. Isaac Rendo's injured as always. And so it took him a while to overcome that injury all the way to the Indy game. That was the point where he got bumped up past Isaac Garrido. He's in the rearview mirror, and now Garrido's tore his pec and is injured again. So that conversation's done for this season for sure. I do believe Jordan James is the running back, too, for the 49ers. And I do believe that the running back room is way too short. It does not have the depth that is needed. I do not feel comfortable with Christian McCaffrey coming off leading the NFL in touches. Every single time he's done that, he has had a super down year. I hope that that changes. But man, if Christian McCaffrey goes down, what happens to this offense? Do you feel how confident do you feel in a Kalon Black, Jordan James situation? Not at all. You're going to be scrounging and trading for a vet, you know, just like you were last year, and I don't like that. I really thought the 49ers should have added another running back, but we'll see how it goes. We'll have to see how it goes. Now, you look at the film. Again, Jordan James, small, compact built. He's a bowling ball, low center of gravity style runner. Very decisive. Doesn't waste time, doesn't waste movements. Literally a stick-and-go type guy. One-cut runner, that's what they do at Oregon. It's the Shanahan way, very strong lower body. That's the trait that stands out most when you watch Jordan James. A lot of people falling off the tree trunk legs, running through contact, falling forward. Nobody gets a clean hit on him consistently. He's not fast, ran a 4.55. That's the one area where Kalon Black has him, a full 10th in the 40-yard dash faster. But he's a do-it-all back. That lacks top-end speed. Only played in three games last year, really only got offensive snaps in one. But he passes the eye test. He really does. Do I think that he could be Jordan Mason good? I do not. And like I was a huge Jordan Mason guy. Jordan Mason's better than everybody on this roster at the running back position, besides Christian McCaffrey, of course. But you didn't want to pay him, and Bobby Turner didn't like him. So you had to get rid of him for some reason. I still don't like that trade, but this is where you are. You at some point this season, the 49ers are going to rely on a running back other than Christian McCaffrey. The idea of him being completely healthy two seasons in a row has never happened in his career. Don't expect it to happen this year. I hope it happens, but you cannot expect for it. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. I don't feel like the 49ers prepared for the worst. I really, really, really don't. Now, the contract, he made $1.2 million last year, which is awesome. And again, you look at the depth chart, it's Christian McCaffrey, whoever you have at number two. I have Jordan James, Kalen Black. Isaac Garrido is even on the depth chart because of that pec tear. Patrick Taylor Jr., Sincere McCormick. I like Patrick Taylor Jr. considerably, but like I like him as a number five, which with Isaac Garrido hurt, he's a number four. And with Christian McCaffrey not going to be at much of the practice now, he's the number three. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're missing one guy. Tight end, safety, running back. Definitely those three are the positions where you just look at them and you're just like, man, we could really use a veteran player with some established experience at all three of these spots. Niners haven't done it. And with only, you know, you're at 91 players now. You're going to get to 53. It's hard to have depth all across the board. And the Niners have so much more depth this year than they did last year. But there are still three positions where I just kind of scratch my head and I'm just like, ooh. You're kind of missing. Kind of missing something at this position. And Vader. James looked pretty good in the limited snaps I saw. Yeah. And, you know, Joel, James or Black RB2, I'm going Team James. I'm not rooting against Black. I just think James has the upper hand. I think that he offers more all the way around. But fourth round pick used on James, third round pick used on Kalen Black. So from that standpoint, perhaps the Niners value Kalen Black more. But then you got the Shanahan doghouse thing. With rookies, they never get a play, but drafted 25-year-old rookie, Kalen Black. Yeah, we'll see there. Thomas, hell, I'm all in on those six carries. Yeah, 4.7 yards per carry. Christian McCaffrey, how many times did Christian McCaffrey do that last year? Like, I understand it is a limited sample, but he did it, you know, kind of against one of the best teams. I would say the Texans was the best defense you played last year, but Seattle's definitely not far off. But like, I'm looking right now at Christian McCaffrey's game log. One game, two games, three games, four games last season, Christian McCaffrey had more than 4.7 yards per carry. Like, not good. It was against Chicago, against Indianapolis, against Arizona, and then against Atlanta. That was it, four times. And the two games against Seattle, 3.1 yards per carry and 2.9 yards per carry. So a full yard and a half more. I'm not saying Jordan James is better than Christian McCaffrey. I hope that's not what anybody's taking from this. But, dude, Christian McCaffrey struggled running the ball last year. The offensive line struggled to provide run-blocking lanes for the white running backs last year. That is undebatable. Dude kind of looked good. I'm just saying. Dude kind of looked good right there. David, I can't wait for the Cowboys game. We recently moved to Texas, so we're in the DFW area, so it's perfect. We're going to be there. If you want to come join us, that's going to be our biggest party of the year. We've already rented out Texas Live. We'll be there the day before. We have an all-inclusive premium tailgate right next to the Walmart, next to Cowboys Stadium or AT&T Stadium or whatever you want to call it. But, man, if you're going to, you know, our slate of games that we are 100% doing, Australia, Mexico City, Atlanta, Dallas, and then Seattle. Those are the five games we are doing. We're trying to add some more, but if you go to any of those games, you got to come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Oh, man. The chat is coming in strong. What's up, Stefan? Look at this, man. Niner Empire, best of the best. I love it. We got Seattle Faithful Chapter. What's up, Alex? Come to Seattle, you cowards. Dude, Seattle's a good time. Seattle's a good time. We got a great venue. The stadium is top-notch. I do not like Seattle fans, even though one of my best friends is a Seattle fan. I don't like Seattle fans, but that stadium, off-the-charts city, it's freaking awesome. It's a good time. Come party with us. And, you know, again, so many great chapters. Seattle Faithful, they do not play. So come join us, Seattle. Trust me. You like, I have people that came for the playoff game where the Niners got routed that still reach out to me and tell me how great of a weekend that was, even though the Niners got destroyed. Like, you're going to have a great time. So come say what's up. Number 32 on our roster countdown, Vidarian Lowe. And I just went through that whole diatribe on, man, there's a couple positions where you just don't have depth. Offensive tackle is not one of those. Vidarian Lowe is a starting caliber tackle in the NFL in the current climate. Now, I have to buttress that statement with the idea that this, offensive tackle is probably the most talent devoid position in the NFL. The fact that the 49ers have two very, very good tackles, Trent Williams, Hall of Famer, Colton McKivitz, top 10 right tackle in the NFL, and then Vidarian Lowe coming in as your swing guy, I think that is huge. He wears jersey number 76. He's only 27 years old. The thing that makes Vidarian Lowe special, length, arm length in particular, is 35 and 5/8 inch arms. Like monster go-go gadget arms. He's 6'5", 317, 84-inch wingspan. This dude, it's just too hard to get around him. And you watch the tape. He just neutralizes speed rushers because he's just extended. His wingspan, it shows on tape consistently. 27 years old. He played at Illinois. Born and raised in Rockford, Illinois, went to Auburn High School, three-time all-conference player in high school, Vidarian Lowe was. And he chose to stay in Illinois because, quote, he loved his teammates and coaches. Loyalty, gotta love that. Gets drafted by the Vikings in 2022. Sixth round, he actually went three picks right after Nick Sakel. Much better playing career than Nick Sakel. Gets drafted by the Vikings, then traded a year later. Very rare. Kind of sophomore year trade, second year player trade. Doesn't happen a lot in the NFL. He did. He gets traded to the Patriots and starts for him. And if you go back to that sixth round in 2022, he's picked 184th overall. He's the third best player that was drafted that year in that round. As far as like play time goes and all that stuff, Jamie Sawyer and Christian Benford are the only two players in that round, but turned out to be a great player. So drafted by the Vikings, traded to the Patriots, started a lot of games. And then you look at him off the field. He adopted his brother, Vidalis, which big deal for me, right? Adopted parent. And his mother passed away, took over custody of his younger brother. He has two sons, Kingston and Trey. Cool names. Just seems like a great dude that just gets out there, gets his job done on and off the field, does what he does. Going into his fifth season, played a lot of football, 46 games, 25 starts. This is a six-round pick. Played a lot of ball, played a lot. And last year, probably one of the coolest things, he caught a touchdown pass from Drake May. They split him out as an eligible wide receiver. He caught a four-yard touchdown pass as a wide receiver. This dude's 6'5", 320 out there doing stuff. I love it. Only 27, so he's got upside. And again, similar to Mac Jones, you get this value-based deal, but you got it for 2 years. The Niners signed Vidarian Lowe to a two-year, $9.2 million contract. Only $5.7 million guaranteed. He's making the roster no matter what. He's made $6.1 million in his career. Niners got him for 2 years. So if my favorite thing about Vidarian Lowe is, God forbid, Trent Williams has come out and said he's playing next year, that's going to be his last year, whatever else. But if he does not, Vidarian Lowe could step in. You don't want Vidarian Lowe to be your starting left tackle, but you don't mind him competing. Him and Enrique Cruz Jr., you have your short-term and your long-term plan at the tackle position. That's what he brings. And so is Vidarian Lowe a top 10 tackle, top 20 tackle, top 30 tackle? Not really. But for a backup, oh my gosh. For this price? Yeah, this is awesome. This is value-based shopping for a low price. And so he can play left tackle, you can play right tackle, but you've got Trent, you've got Colton McKivitz, and then behind him, Vidarian Lowe and Enrique Cruz, both young with high upside characteristics. You've got Enrique Cruz in the athleticism, you got Vidarian Lowe in the size and length. It's a good spot to be in. I really, really loved. And Vidarian Lowe is kind of the microcosm between the difference between 2025 49ers and the 2026 49ers. This year's 49ers has veteran depth at established positions, much more so than last year. Is he somebody that, you know, if Trent goes down, you're just going to be like, oh, it's okay, you got Vidarian Lowe? Not really, but you're getting capable play. You're getting consistent, capable play from a starter replacement level player. That's Vidarian Lowe at such an important position. So that's where he is. Yeah, I'm not going to put that one up there. Ben, what's up, man? He's one of the ones that helps with this entire series. Love you, Ben. He says he loves the low signing. First time we've had a true swing tackle. I am curious, and for those of you that go out to training camp and all that stuff, does Fedarian Lowe just play left tackle? Does 76 just stay on the left side, or is he going to get right tackle snaps as well? Cruz likely to the practice squad. Man, fifth round pick, I don't think you could stash him with that athleticism. I would love to be able to keep Cruz. How many teams keep four tackles on their initial 53, right? But man, fifth round picks make the roster. Seventh round picks, 50-50. Sixth round picks, about 80 to 90% make the roster. Fifth round picks, it's almost 100%. Man, you cut him. Ugh, what a terrible mismanagement of draft capital. Maria, the left guard position was our weakest link, needs to improve, but it wasn't the only reason the run game was dead. We'll need better receiver blocking too. Yeah, it takes all 11 in this system. Oh, look at this. Johnny Dill. Low is the way. Better backup than Enrique. Yeah, I don't think that there's a competition between Fedarian Lowe and Enrique Cruz. My question is, will Chris Forrester just say, Fedarian, you're the left tackle. Enrique, you're the right tackle. I think it was Jaylon Moore, like his second year. Colton McKivitz or somebody got hurt. And you throw him in there and they're like, well, has he practiced that right there? And they were like, no, he hasn't practiced there yet. It's like, what? Like your swing tackle just stays on the left side? Niners don't do the swing tackle whatever thing very often. I think that that's very nearsighted, and I think that it's gotten in trouble in the past, so that might change. But they like to have your alpha group, your Bravo group, you know, things like that. They want Fedarian Lowe to play left tackle. And then again, very similar to Jordan James and Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams don't practice. He didn't practice any Wednesdays, and he gets some Thursdays and Fridays off. So is Fedarian Lowe with the ones because you don't want to wreck first-team reps? So you got to have a consistent one. So then is Enrique Cruz the swing? Like there's questions that need to be answered on just the formality of how the rotation of offensive tackles takes place for the 49ers throughout training camp and preseason. I do not think that there is any question, as Johnny Dell eloquently put, as he always does. That's where your podcasters go to learn football. Johnny Dell Football Academy. Everybody go subscribe. Fedarian Lowe is clearly the number three, but is he clearly the backup left tackle? That's a Chris Forrester question. That's where that's at. Oh, look at this, Logan. This is what I love to see. Got a job promotion, my man. One of us wins, we all win. I truly believe that. Also, orientation and a job I've always wanted to be at. Part of that, Ed Chapman back, man, let's freaking go. Man, Logan, way to go, dude. I appreciate you sharing that with us. We need those positives. We need those, baby. I love this community. Way to go, Logan. Hell yeah. Wish I was around you to celebrate. Ah, that is awesome. Invader, I'm rooting for Carver Willis to win the left guard job and reinvigorate that run game. Dude, Carver Willis can run block like a mamma jamma. That is the easiest thing to see in his tape. And we have all these tape breakdowns on new players added, rookies, whatever else. It's up on the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon. That's the best way to support what we do. That's how I pay the bills. So please, if you want to check that out, you got a 7-day free trial. Go check it out. Go watch some tape. See how you feel. We got Zoom hangouts once a month. We're going to have one of those next week, not this week. I got to set the date and talk to the wife. But I would like Carver Willis to win the left guard spot. I just think he's the long-term answer for center after Jake Brendel. I don't think he's going to – his pass pro is so rough. I think Connor Colby's going to win it. I think the 49ers would love Carver Willis to win that job because that would be immediate run game. Just the pass game, that's a little rough. Can he anchor? Those are the questions. All right, let's get to one of my favorite players on this team, number 31. I have been standing on the podium or pounding the table, whatever you want to use there. Sam O. I'm the president of this guy's fan club. I can't, and to show We had Sam O ranked 32nd last year. This year he's 31. We had him appropriately ranked last year. He was 82, jumped to 32. Now he's at 31, only one spot up. But man, Sam O is just exactly what you want on your roster. Is he a starter? No. Well, he started a bunch of games last year. He started 12 games last year. Jeez, that's insane. The injuries at the defensive end position is rough. Sam O is not supposed to be a starter. He's supposed to be your number four, or number five defensive end. He's the type of guy that gives you consistent play that is not a playmaker. This is not a top end defensive end, but he is somebody that does everything right. He is a true four down defensive end. I mean that because he plays all the special teams as well. But you can play him in the run, you play him in the goal line, you play him in pass rush, you play him in, you know, special teams, punt return, whatever. You play him all the time. And he always, like, Sam O doesn't have negatives. He's not a Pro Bowler, never going to be a Pro Bowler. But he is somebody that you can rely on that will do his job, just doesn't make a lot of plays. But he doesn't hurt his teammates, right? Like Jordan Elliott. Khalil Davis. These are guys. Bryce Huff. A bad play from those guys, that hangs your nickel corner and safety out to dry. Sam O does his damn job. And he is a wonderful litmus test for, like, quality football play. How many teams have five stud defensive ends? Maybe one or two. Sam O is just a quality guy that you can put in there and give your studs a break and not have to worry about, gosh, can't believe the defensive end did that and hung us out to dry. Sam O doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And where's jersey number 91? 6'1", 270. He's 28 years old. Went to Mesabi Range Community College. Oh, yeah, that's a well-known school. Then transferred to Maryland. What an amazing story. This guy, born and raised in Monrovia, Liberia. Lived in Liberia until he was 12. Rough childhood. Civil War breaks out, gets separated from his family and mother, comes to the United States by himself. Doesn't even know where his mom's at. Comes to the United States, gets involved in sports, finds some purpose, and just does very, very well. Reunited with his mom, which is that's awesome. Goes to Lowell High School in Massachusetts. Come on, man. That's freaking awesome. Three-star recruit, goes to community college, transfers to Maryland. Dane Brugler was really high on this guy because he's just such a freak athlete. He was number 41 on Dane Brugler's 2022 class just because of the athleticism. Goes undrafted. Should have been a third or fourth rounder, but people didn't know that much about him. He's played in 37 games in the NFL, 15 starts, 12 tackle for loss, 6.5 sacks. Come on, man. Just quality depth piece that everybody seems to really like. Plays his damn heart out. Sam O is like, I just love this dude. When he's out there, I just love him. He just gives every single thing that he has, every single freaking play. All out effort. Okay, 27 solo stops last year. Second most for the entire 49ers defense. 31 pressures, second best on the team. 24 hurries, second best. Like, this is not a guy that should be starting games and should be second in any statistical category. But because of the injury, Sam O stepped up. It was awesome. It was a big reason why the 49ers not only made it to the playoffs, but won a playoff game. Sam O is a reason. You don't want those guys to start, but he stepped up. He's on a one-year, $2.3 million deal. He's made $2.4 million in his career. You know, he's never going to be a highly paid, you know, whatever. He's 28 years old, but Sam O, oh, dude, if you guys ever see somebody saying something negative about this dude, I don't know what I'm supposed to say after that, but like, no, no, just stop it. That didn't happen. Does not need to happen. Ah, Notorious GAV, my man. Says, I love me some Sam O. I freaking, dude. That's what the countdown's about, man. Everybody knows about Nick Bosa. Everybody knows that. Sam O. Dude, you meet somebody and you want to know how good of a 49ers fan they are. Say, tell me about Sam O. If they can answer anything, that's Die Hard, baby. That's Die Hard. And they're like, who? Then you're like, that's okay. It's a, listen to this podcast. We're going to learn. We're going to learn together. We'll get to where we got to go. Freaking love Sam O, dude. Notorious. He says, yeah, Sam O was arguably our best player on the defensive line last year with all the injuries. He was the most consistent. And that is a tell of mine, right? I'm coaching background. Consistency is everything. If you're only good for one out of five plays, I can't do anything with you. That you're hanging four plays, you're hanging your other teammates out to dry. Football's a team sport. This ain't basketball. This ain't soccer. This ain't pitching and baseball. No. This is 11 on 11. Don't screw over your teammates. Sam O doesn't do that. So consistently. Thomas, I was watching another creator who said Sam O might get cut. I no longer watch him. You look at the depth chart. There's a lot of, sometimes the Niners only keep five players. Okay, so let's go through the depth chart. Nick Bosa, Mikel Williams, Keon White, Sam O, Romello Height. Probably got to put Romello Height up there. Sam O's a true four-down defensive end. Romello Height is your pass rusher. Like, there is a world in which Sam O might not make it if Mikel Kamara, you know, he's got a much higher ceiling. But no, I don't think he's got $1.8 million guaranteed out of $2.3 million. He put up too much good tape. He would get claimed. I really do think so. Cam Sample, William Bradley King, Andrew Farmer. That rounds out the depth chart. But 49ers are keeping five defensive ends. With the injury to Mikel Williams, I think you can keep five and put Mikel on the pup, which is a very real possibility. Well, then that means Mikel Kamara and Sam O can make it. I struggle seeing a reality with the amount of quality tape that number 91 has put up. I don't think you move on from that. I really don't. It's these cheap style contracts that you just get to say, hey, man, dude, if Bosa doesn't come back, I don't want Sam O starting, but he sure as hell helps you sleep better at night. It's the Carry Hyder special, right? This is just Carry Hyder freaking reincarnate. I know Carry Hyder's still alive, but like from a Chris Kucerik standpoint, he has specialized and kind of made a name for himself by the Carry Hyders and Sam O's of the world. So, yeah, I'm not sure, man. Let's see here. Invader, appreciate keeping us up to date. Seahawks just placed Nicky Manwari, Kenny McIntosh, and Tyron Broden on the pup list. There we go. That means that they can come off the pup list at any time. And you're going to, this is the start. The Seahawks are a day ahead because they play that first game. This is the start of all those, you know, vets reporting and all that stuff. This is the time of year we are in. Sam O was better than Bryce Huff last year. Not even close. Not comparable. Johnny Dale, I love Sam O. Yeah, Mr. Consistent. Oh, I freaking love this. $2.3 million for Sam O is a steal. That's the thing. He cut him. Like, why? Yeah, like, he ain't costing you nothing, and he's reliable. And he's good on special teams, too. Like, that's just an extra thing. Like, dude just plays. Johnny, Sam O is like a good chicken dinner. I love it. Not the greatest thing on the menu, but rarely disappoints and can be counted. Dude, Sam O is the rotisserie chicken at Costco. Come on, man. How much is that? The whole chicken? It's going to taste delicious, and it's ready to eat. There we go, baby. I love it. Yeah. I love these chicken sandwiches. You guys are great, man. Oh, y'all are killing me. Y'all are killing me, man. Oh, I love it. Sam O, I'm just telling you, there are players that are litmus tests for if you watch football or not. If you, like, and sorry, I know I'm coming across pompous, and maybe it's because I am sometimes. That's okay. Maybe. I hope it is. I am pompous with certain things. Movie trivia, 49ers football, Longhorns, and probably good lager. I can break down some good lagers. But, man, Sam O just belongs. He just belongs. These are the players that represent what it means to be a 49er. And the meritocracy that Sam O creates. He was an undrafted free agent transplant. He's not even from this damn country. Community college, like, you just can't stop him. You just can't. Will not be denied. Those types of players build up the identity of scrappy, just will not quit teams. That's what they do. Ugh. Yeah, I'm just saying, man. Whew. Let's go. All right. Anyway, let's get to number 30 on this list. Again, scrappy. How about a Pro Bowl special teamer? Luke Gifford. Defensively, ouch. Number 57. Definitely gets isolated sometimes. And yeah, there's a lot of plays you can put up there and just be like, yikes. Special teams wise, how many times? And again, we've been doing this show. Again, what I forget the number of this show. I've been doing it a while. Yeah, 1,670 of the 49ers Rush podcast. Dude, special teams has been an albatross around the 49ers' necks for 9 out of 10 years since Shanahan showed up. The one time it wasn't was this year. Luke Gifford, major reason why. And obviously the kicker. And we'll get to him, baby. Oh, oh, freaking love Pinheiro. But Luke Gifford is number 2. Dude was just a stud. Last year was number 37 on our list. This year's number 30. He climbed. Now, and I said last year, Luke Gifford's going to be the starting Sam backer for the 49ers week one, which I was correct. He looked really bad. He was not good at Sam Laff. He was always where he needed to be. Just could never make a play. Just couldn't make a play. What you can put up with that as a rookie, you can't put up with that 29-year-old player. Now, Luke Gifford's 30 now. Where's number 57? 6'3", 243. Went to Nebraska. Born and raised in Lincoln, dude. This kid wore a black shirt like in the toddler. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he just ingrained in the Osborne culture. Went to Lincoln Southwest High School, played tight end safety for the majority of his high school year. His senior year, they moved him to quarterback. And you watch a lot of the linebacker tape, which I think is behind him. I think he's just going to be a special teamer only for the rest of his career. But, like, he's good with the instincts. He always knows where to be. He just doesn't have the athleticism and playmaking ability from a defense standpoint to earn that role. But you don't mind him as a backup linebacker. Because the communication's off the charts. He knows what to do. He just can't do it. Led his team to a state championship back in 2011. He's been playing football a long time. Undrafted in 2019. Man, a lot of undrafted guys on this year's countdown. But he just sticks around. Special teams, coaches love him. Going into his 8th season, he's played in 90 games, only 14 starts. Not a lot of great statistics mount up in his career, but made the Pro Bowl as a special team last year. And I started week 3, like, put film clips up of this guy saying, dude, he's on his way to the Pro Bowl season. Like, I was like, dude, come on, guys. Like, special teams, I don't know how many people break down special teams tape, but I don't think there's a lot. Dude, special teams. Oh, I'm a little pompous when it comes to special teams. I'm adding that to the list. But yes, dude, 57, just out there all the damn time. Just making plays. Just making plays. He had 13 special teams tackles last year. There was one game, oh, I don't remember what game it was, where he had 4 tackles on kickoff alone in one game. In one game. A couple of them were combo tackles, but it was just like, ooh, this guy changes the special teams unit, period. Luke Gifford, stud. He's on a 2-year, $5 million deal. This is the last year of his contract. $8 million career earnings. That's awesome. Now, where does he fit in the linebacker depth chart? I don't want him as a starter. He's got to be around there somewhere. But Nick Martin, Tatum, Bethune, Jaden Duggar, like those three guys, you want them, one of those guys to win the number 3 linebacker role. You know, Fred Warner and Trey Greenlaw got 1 and 2 locked up. Luke Gifford can play all 3. You don't want him to play all 3. He could. But you don't want him to. He's making this roster, guaranteed. Oh, dude, I want to go back and just go through some more freaking Sam O comments. I love those dudes, man. Maria. What's up, Maria? Luke Gifford, special teams, yes. Defense, no. Yeah. Johnny, unless Jaden Duggar manages to put on 10 pounds, improve hustle, and get way tougher through contact, Gifford is going to be the Sam on the line. He's done it. Last year was rough. And it's funny because when the Niners brought on Raheem Morris, a lot of people were like, oh, we're going to be doing five-man fronts and, under, you know, 4-3 under and over. And I was like, not solid. Did that last year with 57. Like, he played up on the line. The difference between Raheem Morris and, you know, the way Robert Saleh uses those formations, Raheem Morris does it from a pass rushing philosophy, core concern with his defense. Robert Saleh does it from a run stuffing, gap control style philosophy. So it's funny. Looks similar. Completely different philosophical constructs on what the players are doing there. Robert Saleh, stop the run. Morris, go get the passer. So, yeah, Jaden Duggar, he fits that role much better for Raheem Morris, but Jaden Duggar is so raw, and that dude needs years, I believe, unless you just oversimplify everything for him. And it's hard to put somebody out there that's not going to be able to diagnose. He couldn't diagnose plays to save his life on watching that tape down in Louisiana, but we'll see what he can be. We'll see what he can be. Is height going to be the same linebacker from a pass rushing standpoint? Yeah, you could do some of that. Definitely could do some of that. Yeah, right here, Logan. I appreciate everything Luke Gifford does on special teams. Exactly. Yeah, special teams, baby. I love it. 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 Maria, this linebacker group looking really awesome. Just getting Greenlaw back is huge. You know it's your number two. You know who your number two is. Johnny Holland's the beast. KJ Wright's a beast. Man, that linebacker room, coaching and player-wise, it's special, man. Nick Martin doing anything would be huge. It would be huge. Oh, come on. All right, the last player on today's countdown, number 29. More veteran depth, baby. Not even depth. I think this is going to be a starter week one, if I'm going to be honest with you. Christian Kirk, 29. New free agency signing. Where's jersey number 3? 5'10", 201. And then you go over to Mock Draftable. You know, Christian Kirk's been in the league a long time. He's 29 years old. Got drafted in 2018. You know what's funny? Christian Kirk got drafted 3 picks after Dante Pettis, the cat himself. Now, you put in Christian Kirk's measurables in Mock Draftable, and you know the slot wide receivers that are going to come up. Curtis Samuel, Golden Tate, Randall Cobb, Christian Kirk. The 5'10", 200-pound running back hybrid body type that can run good routes. That's what Christian Kirk is. That's what Christian Kirk does. He went to Texas A&M. I won't hold that against him. A lot of A&M guys joining the Niners this year. Don't like that, but Christian Kirk's a good dude. Son of Evan and Melissa Kirk, he attended Saguaro High School out in Scottsdale, Arizona, where he played wide receiver and running back. Again, that 5'10", 200-pound. Kind of built like Jordan James. Gained over 3,000 all-purpose yards as a senior and 2,000 all-purpose yards as a junior. This dude was all Arizona, everything. 5-star recruit, could have went wherever he wanted to. Why he chose Texas A&M, I don't know. But he led the NCAA in punt return yardage, 21.7, way back in 2017. Now, pump the brakes. I know you just heard punt return. Kirk hasn't returned a punt since 2022. And he wasn't even that good that year. I don't think you could put him back there because, hey, Kyle Shanahan's talked about this. This was a Trent Taylor, you know, punt return approach. I just want somebody back there that I can guarantee catches the ball, won't muff it, won't fumble it, will do what he's supposed to do. Kirk can do that. If you're trying to get playmaking ability, Kirk ain't that. That's just not what he is from a punt return standpoint. This is a savvy vet that will be where he is supposed to be 100% of the time. That is a first down drive-sustaining slot back that you could trust. Shanahan has to trust those wide receivers. Brock has to trust his options. Just think about Jordan Mason, who I love. Brock Purdy hated. Refused to throw the damn ball. Like, it just wouldn't do it for whatever reason. Now, the Cardinals drafted Christian Kirk in the second round, 47th overall, way back in the day, 2018. And Kirk has the fourth most receptions out of that entire draft. He is only behind DJ Moore, Mark Andrews, and Cortland Sutton for receptions from that draft. He's had a good year. Going into his ninth season, he's played 8 seasons, 4 with the Cardinals, 3 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, where he got that crazy, crazy contract. 1 year last year with Houston, was banged up, but had an elite playoff game against the Steelers for the Texans. He had 8 catches, 144 yards, and a touchdown. We broke down that tape over on the 49ersrush.com. That's up as soon as you sign up. You get access to that or our Patreon page. Just type in Christian Kirk in the little search field to pull up. He's not had a dominating career, and his best games are playoffs or big time, like division games. Like when the lights shine bright, Christian Kirk shows up more so than other times. One 1,000 yard season in 2022 for Jacksonville. He had 84 receptions, 1,108 yards. That's the only time he's even really gotten close to the 1,000 yard mark. He's a number three wide receiver. He's a slot guy only at this stage in his career. It's not a bad thing. You're paying him 1 year, $3 million. And Kyle Shanahan mentioned Christian Kirk in his post-free agency press conference saying, you know, everybody talks about Mike Evans. Kirk took less money to come here too. He had more money elsewhere. The Niners continue to attract players that want to win because of Kyle Shanahan, because of Brock Purdy, because of the culture. You want to be a part of this team. There's space for wide receivers. I would argue definitely one of the three or four worst wide receiver groups in the NFL last year. Overhauled that room. You brought in 5 wide receivers. Christian Kirk was one of those. Now the injuries, oh, okay. Take a deep breath. You're getting a value in Christian Kirk. All right, 2018, missed 4 games due to a broken foot. 2019, missed 4 games due to a broken ankle. 2023, now he had 3 healthy years in a row. 2023, groin/core muscle injury. Final 4 games of the season missed. 2024, broken collarbone, missed the second half of the season. Last year, 2025, 2 games with a hamstring. You're talking 3 straight seasons missing multiple games with there's no repetitive injuries in there, but it's like, gosh, foot, ankle, groin, collarbone, hamstring. Just like, what are we doing? Playing operation? Now, 1 year, $3 million deal, Christian Kirk ain't breaking the bank. Christian Kirk doesn't pan out. That doesn't kill you. You got Jacob Cowing there. You've got Jordan Watkins there. And you got Deshaun Stripling, who could fill in and play that big slot role. There is depth across there. I fully expect Christian Kirk to start in the very first 11 personnel that's out there. 3 wide receiver set for the 49ers. I expect to see number 3, Christian Kirk being out there. I really, really do. I think for Kyle Shanahan, he wants guys that he knows where they're going to be and just make things simple for Brock Purdy. Is he a game changer at this point in his career? No. But you know where he's going to be, and he catches the ball consistently well. So he's a pro's pro. He's a vet's vet that's made a lot of money. I didn't go over that. He's made $80.4 million. Christian Kirk is good. He's not $80 million good. He was the first major signing that set off the wide receiver market where it was like, holy, what the? Like Christian Kirk, you can go back and look. When he got that crazy-ass deal by Jacksonville, that was the moment wide receiver surpassed offensive tackle as that premium position. Quarterback, pass rusher, wide receiver. That is the pecking order of pay for positions in the NFL. Christian Kirk was a big part of that. He's made $80 million, and I love it. One of us wins, we all win. I don't know anybody in the Kirk family, but this dude, he's not playing for money anymore. He signed with the 49ers a 1 year, $3 million deal, incentive based. You know, it could be a lot more. And that's the type of deal that I would offer Debo if I was going to offer him. But I'd prefer Christian Kirk over Debo. Why? Because he can beat man coverage. Why? Because he actually has good hands. Now, Debo now versus Debo 3 years ago, that's a different conversation. But now you're going to be one of the most pass happy teams in the NFL this year. The 49ers are. They were one of the most pass happy teams in the NFL last year. Christian Kirk, more reliable options that you can trust. This isn't Kendrick Bourne that's going to line up offsides, jump false start, drop balls, you know, all that kind of stuff, but then have a 180 yard game. No, it's consistency, right? And back to that theme. Christian Kirk is a consistent player. He didn't have a great year last year. Was great in the postseason, though. So, kind of deal with that how you want. Right here, yeah, Logan. Christian Kirk ruined the wide receiver market when he got that huge contract. He did, man. It was crazy. Notorious, how long do you think it will take Kirk to learn Kyle's complicated playbook? Not that long. He was with Houston last year. It might take a little while, but he's just going to be a slot. Like he's not going to be playing. Christian Kirk's going to get 20 snaps a game, right? I don't think that this is like he'll be quote unquote a starter in three wide receiver sets, but this guy ain't going to be out there all the time.
Johnny, what would it take for John to refer to himself as Captain John Sparrow? No, I must have missed something there. You could learn Cliff Kingsbury offense over dinner. Yeah, that thing is hilarious. It's just a joke.
Yeah, Maria, Kirk is an underrated signing, in my opinion. Solid. Like, these are the types of guys you didn't have last year. Now you have these guys. Yes, Logan. This might be the best wide receiver Brock Purdy has ever had, considering last year was the weakest. Wide receiver room? Yeah, I'm cool with that. Now you go back to, you know, the year Ayuk balled out and all that stuff, and you had like the 3 1,000-yard receivers with, you know, Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle. This year is better. I do agree with that. We'll have to see how it pans out. And, yeah, Kirk has a lot to prove, but he's betting on himself. I love people that bet on themselves. I really, really do. Kirk and Cowan competing for the same spot. Man, I don't. They play the same position. They're both undersized, but Cowan's way smaller. The ceiling for Cowan's huge. I'm going consistent. I really am. Yeah. Ben, hamstring. That's the one word I don't want to hear this year. Yeah. We'll see there. Could Christian Kirk be our Cooper Kupp this year? Yeah, Kupp plays a lot out of the slot. He's not near as good a route runner. He doesn't have near as good as hands. He doesn't block. That's the thing. Probably Cooper Kupp's most underrated trait. That dude's a wide receiver plus blocking if there ever was one. I think Christian Kirk could be our 2017 Trent Taylor. That's what I think Shanahan envisions. Somebody that could just get open quick and just move the chains. Elongated handoffs. Quick reads for Brock Purdy on overload blitzes. Things like that. That's what I see with Christian Kirk. First downs. That's what I see with Christian Kirk. There we go. Captain Kirk. Ooh, I like that. That's what you were referencing. Okay, Captain Kirk. I get it. Because Star Wars. There we go. Is that right? Does the thumb go in for live long and prosper? I don't know what to do there. I'm not a Trekkie. My friend was a Trekkie. My friend's parents were Trekkies, and I just made fun of them all the time. I respect the Star Wars. I just got in big trouble. Star Trek, totally different thing. But yeah, I never watched it very much, but I think it's awesome. Like Klingons and all that stuff. Yeah. So we're trying to call Christian Kirk Captain Kirk. That's what we're doing. I love it. All right, cool. So, Captain Kirk, I'm on board. Beam me up, Scotty. I did it right. That was right. That was a good reference. I get that reference. I'm sure somebody just hates me right now. I love you guys. I need to know what to do with the thumb because I can do the live long and prosper. I don't know. ET phone home. I don't know how to do that. Y'all got to help me out with that. But that's going to do it for us today. I'm glad to be back. Man, I'm glad. And we're going to be rolling, you know, full speed ahead. Let me see here. I messaged Wayne. He has not gotten back to me. Oh, I think he's at a gig. So we'll see. We'll see if we'll get a John and Wayne show. If not, I'll be for a solo show. I know we got Larry on Wednesday and hoping to get a coach approach in on Thursday. But it's time. Like, we are here. And there's nowhere else I'd rather be. This is what I want to do with my time. And it's be with you guys and talk wonderful 49ers football. And I'm very thankful to have this opportunity. And the only reason why I do is because of you guys. I'm looking for the answer. Nobody gave me the answer with the thing. So I'm going to have to go over to ChatGPT, I guess, and figure out how to do the live long and prosper. But for us and the 49ers Rush Show, we appreciate you guys. And as always, till next time, stay strong, faithful. Live long and prosper. When one of us wins, we all win. We can throw them all in there. Sam O's the best. Till next time, peace.